mostly had the where the warfare between the church in the old dispensation or in this dispensation was taking place. And so the history is revealed there that in Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and then Rome, which was ruling when this kingdom of God was set up, that Daniel said would be set up in the days of that last kingdom, the kingdom of Rome. And so the man-child was caught up into heaven. He ascended, he came, he completed the work, he ascended back to the Father and sat down at the right hand. And he now has all of this power, the scepter that Adam lost, he has. And he's ruling and reigning with a rod of iron. And he governs among the nations. And the woman fled into and the nations of a rod of iron, and the child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so this war in heaven, as we said, is a region of power. When Christ was here on the earth, when he sent out his 70 disciples, and they came back and they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. And he said, I saw Satan cast out as lightning from heaven. And we've in the book of Luke, and in another time, we have the Gentiles that came in the book of John, and they were seeking and said, we would see Jesus. And when they went and told the Lord, there were some Gentiles out there, he said, practically the same thing, he said, and I saw Satan cast out of heaven into the earth. And when he was talking to the Pharisees, and they accused him of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, he said, a kingdom divided cannot stand. He said, but if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, then you know that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And so the casting out, when the gospel in this dispensation, when Christ was born and the gospel, all for 4,000 years, all the prophets and prophecies had been fulfilled in him. And he had come and now defeated. When he was here, he was looking ahead at the results of what his life would mean and do here in his when he went to Calvary. And he said, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here now, and I'm setting it up, and the devil is being cast out of this power, in this power region of power that he'd been ruling in. And when you consider the idolatries that the kingdoms under the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans at that time, the reason, one reason that they were, the Christians were being persecuted by this Caesar that was ruling at Rome at that time, was the Caesars claimed divinity. They said they were divine, and you were to bow down to them. And Christians, they called them infidels and heathens because they worshiped this somebody called Jesus, and they didn't worship the emperor of Rome, and they called them heathens and infidels because they were not a believer, that is, a believer in the deity of the emperors of Rome. And so that was one reason the Christians were persecuted and hid in the caves and in the dens of the earth at that time. And so as they were being persecuted by this great power, when the gospel began to go forth, the gospel destroyed that kingdom. It was, that is, as far as the moral ethics of civilization at that time, it was the cause of the destruction of the idolatries of the Roman Empire and the Grecian Empire before it, And the gospel of the Son of God began to be the rule. The Ten Commandments began to be the rule by which they began to govern themselves. Instead of worshiping Venus and Mars and the goddess of Diane and her temples and these great temples that have been built, now they're just monuments over there to be looked at as like a museum or something. So we see that the devil was cast out of heaven, out of that heaven, into the earth. And the Lord, as we said in many different places, referred to that himself as Satan being cast down into the earth and not having the power to rule and to blind the minds and the hearts of men and kings of the earth like he had up until that time, causing them to worship any and everything but the true and living God. That's the devil's greatest desire, is to hide the truth and to cause human beings to be like him, and that is in total misery and in blind and to hate the things of God and the truth of God. The truth is what sets us free. The truth of God is the thing that liberates the souls of men to where they're not bowed down and in bondage to the idols and the gods of this earth and the prince of the power of the air in this world. And so he does everything he can. First, for 4,000 years, he tried to hinder the holy seed from coming into the earth. Now that he has come and has defeated, when the devil thought he had defeated this purpose by killing Christ on the cross, he found out that he had been the very source that had brought about his own defeat. Because when he, in his rage and malice, had Christ crucified, he deceived the kings and princes of this earth to believing that Jesus Christ was not the Messiah. For had they known, the apostle says, for had they known he was the Son of God, they would not have crucified him. And so the devil had deceived them into believing a lie and crucified the Son of God. And in doing so, he brought about his own defeat. And so through weakness, God destroyed the wisdom of this world, the power of Satan in this world. He destroyed him in weakness. Christ submitted himself to the weakness of being crucified and going into death. That's the weakest state that you can be in, is to be dead. You are totally, completely helpless in death. And so Christ died. He submitted himself to the power of Satan. When they come to get him, he said, this is the hour of darkness. This is your hour and the power of darkness. And he submitted to it. They could not have taken him if he had not submitted to it. And so, and then in 3 days, he came out victorious and defeated death, hell, and the grave, in the very death that the devil thought he had done away with that holy seed. But now that he's caught up into heaven, and so he has now gone after the woman. And the woman has fled into the wilderness, and so the church of God is this world is called a wilderness as far as that's concerned. And as far as the societies of men in the earth, the church has always been hidden from the societies of men. And it's a kingdom that's in the world but not of the world. And it's not perceived by the natural eye. And yet it's here all the time. And God is ruling and reigning in this kingdom. And so it fled into the wilderness, and when it said, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And so the church gets her victory by looking to the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of the Lamb that was put over the doorpost, you know, that preserved them from the death angel. And it's the blood of the Lamb whereby we're washed in, and that makes us kings and priests under our God. And so it's the when we are trusting in the blood of the Lamb, then we have the victory. We overcome them. We overcome the agnostics, the wicked of this world, and the atheists, and those that deny the kingdom of God, and that God has created the earth, and they want to, the devil tries to make people believe that we're nothing but just monkeys with clothes on, and that we're no more than animals, and it's all an accident, and it's no purpose to us. It just accidentally happened out here sometimes in the great eons of time and billions of years, and it's just some kind of a freak accident that caused a little cell to become alive. And over great eons of time, we've evolved from little tadpoles to what we are now. Now that's the devil denying. That's what he blinds the very wisest men of the world to believe such fables as that. And that's the reason we say that except we understand the warfare that is not seen but yet going on in this a moral kingdom in the souls of men that God has created in His own image. If we don't understand and see that, history don't make any sense. And if you don't believe that, it's no wonder you believe you come from a monkey. And when you die, it's all over. But when you begin to understand what God has revealed here, then it makes sense. Human history then has a purpose. It started, it had a beginning, and it's going into a consummation which will be delivered. This kingdom that's here now in the earth will be delivered up to God into an eternal kingdom that shall live forever and forever and forever. And the God's people will glorify Him and praise Him forever and forever in this kingdom that's yet to come. We just get a little foretaste of it here and now. And so it says, therefore, rejoice, ye that dwell in, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And he knows that compared to the time that he has had, that his time is short now. The holy seed has come and is victorious over him and has arisen. And now he's persecuting the church and the remnant of her seed. But God has always has a place for her. He's prepared a place for her in the wilderness for a time and a times and a dividing of times, which is the same times that Daniel had. And it's three times mentioned in the book of Revelation. There's 42 months or 3.5 years or 1,260 days or a time and a time and a dividing of time. There are some miraculous dates that have actually been fulfilled in history for using those very terms. That is, a year for a day, 1,260 years would be 1,260 days. And from the time that the first pope, when pagan Rome fell, and the head of that beast received a wound as it was dead, but it revived again right out of the very ashes of imperial Rome, pagan Rome, rose papal Rome. The very same people sat down in the very same chair, took the very same titles that imperial Rome had, and claimed it for himself. And then Satan deceived when he saw that he had been cast into the earth. He'd cast out of the pagan heavens there and ruling over in the hearts and the minds and the kingdoms of that world. Well, then he took a different tactic. He duplicated, impersonated the church. And then he come right in and blinded the minds and the hearts of men and women to impersonate the church and Christianize the very heathen practices and images that was observed under pagan Rome, took the very same things and Christianized them and just renamed them and deceived that generation down through the Dark Ages that slaughtered millions and millions of the saints of God for these 1,260 years. But still, We got to hold to the spiritual interpretation. We might say that the 1260 days of the 42 months specific time is known unto God, because he knows the end from the beginning. He has declared the end from the beginning. But as far as we're concerned, it's a time and a times and a dividing of times. It's an uncertain time to us. It's not as specific, but we know who controls the times. And unto him, they are a set time and a specific time, because he invented, he created the sun and the moon and the stars, from which we have our time. And he holds them in his hand and by the word of his power. And so then we must hurry on here. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly. Well, it says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and into her place where she is nursed for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so after the pagan empire failed and Constantine declared Christianity the state religion, well, then just floods of people came into the church, and they were pronounced to be Christians. The sea and floods of waters throughout the scriptures is representative of nations of people and of great bodies of people, and destroyed, the armies of Assyria that come into Israel against them were described as floods of waters coming in over them. And the wicked are like the restless sea. And we see the great monsters in this book, representative of nations and of peoples and of Rome, rising up out of the earth and up out of the sea. And so the earth is representative of those governments that's earthly, and of the earth earthly, and the sea is representative of floods of people, or great masses of people, out of which the nations of this earth arise, and they're described as carnivorous beasts. You never find in the book of Daniel any of them, hardly of practically all of the animals are beasts. Instead of being tame animals, they're some kind of a wild beast that feed upon other animals. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and the earth helped the woman and swallowed up. And so the floods of doctrines, the floods of people that came into the church and brought in all manner of heresy, and as we said, just Christianized pagan rites and symbols and things in the church. It was a flood, and the earth, they just took that in. This earthly religion that passes for the church helped the woman. And as we've heard it said, if we just had the great power religion on one hand of the world, and just the church, and not all of these different groups in between, we'd be a pitched warfare, I guess, all the time. But it has provided in this country, at least, it has provided a cushion where we might assemble peacefully, and we don't have people in uniform now sent by the government under the authority of popes or cardinals or anything to burn down our building and to put us in jail and to do things like that. But that was at one time common occurrence. So the earth has the dragon sent out this flood out of his mouth, but the earth has helped the woman. And now the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. So Satan has as soon as he's defeated in one realm, he adopts another. And And so he first he ruled in the pagan worlds, and he had the kings and the societies of the earth deceived in believing the lies of those idolatries. And then he went, then he developed a false church when Satan was cast out of those heavens. And now, after the Dark Ages, much of its power was stripped away. And but now he's got the wisdom of the world and what you call rationalism, or the scientific world. And they just, this theory of evolution, that there is, we're just accidents, and that God has not created the world and he's not in charge. We see he has deceived the very elite of the earth now, to where the men of this world, so he is wroth with the remnant of the woman's seed. So he goes from one to another, but we have the sure word of God here that the church is victorious, and we'll come through this victoriously because Christ is ruling and reigning through it all. And though there's much pitched warfare, and oftentimes the devil is given power to do much affliction and damage to the children of God, and many of them have been slaughtered, yet they still, even in death, they've got the victory because they've been delivered from the trials and tribulation of this world into the kingdom of God that will be forever. So the sum and substance of this chapter, as well as the book of Revelation, is to teach us that John is our brother in trials and in tribulations, and in much patience we are to run the race and to understand that there we have an enemy, and he's inflicting as much chaos as he can to the church, but yet he is still subject to our Lord and our Master, and he can only go as far as God permits him to go, as we saw in the book of Job. So our Lord is supreme and reigning in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say unto him, "Ah, what doest thou?" And so we have comfort and consolation from that. The time is gone, and we hope that we have give you something that would be encouraging to you to face the trials and tribulations of our daily life. Our Savior has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And he has given us the Bible that we might have these things are written, that we might have hope, and that they were written for our examples, so that we might draw from them the very truth that we need to be liberated and to get the victory over our enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by the patience and the of that are developed through tribulation. Tribulations worketh patience, and so we have that through the tribulations we see. What shall we sing, brethren? Page 154, we publish the doors of the church open if there's one or more that would love to join the church and obey their heavenly Master in being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and be a member of the church here at Reedsville, and be a partaker of the Lord's Supper in memory of him, of his broken body and shed blood, as he has commanded us. We'll give you that privilege while we're assembled together. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
Children of the Heavenly King, as you journey swiftly, sing, sing your Savior's worthy praise. Lord, ye are traveling.
might announce it, next first Sunday at Monticello will be their semi-annual communion day. We'll have lunch. That's at Monticello, first Sunday in May.
First Sunday in May, Monticello is at communion meeting. Also, we'll have lunch here. When we break up, and we invite everybody to stay to eat with us if you possibly can. Also, right after lunch, we'll have our conference meeting. So we ask the members to stay for that, and anybody else that cares to stay. On any other announcements, I don't have any appointments for this month. I have some for next month. We'll not send it at that time. By words, we ask the Lord this which is most kind and merciful, Heavenly Father, it's again. That we humbly bow before thee, who rules and reigns, among the armies of heaven and inhabitants of the earth, and head over all things in the church. We thank thee, dear Lord, for thy church and kingdom and the marvelous truths that thou hast had recorded for our benefit and edification. Lord, as we take the part in hand, we pray that thou would go with each and every one of us as we go our several ways, be our light in darkness and our strength in weakness, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you.